God is the greatest, isn't he? The greatest story ever told, the greatest building, and we get to play a role in it. That's so amazing. You know, we think of ourselves but dust, and yet God says, let me make something of your life. Let me make you into the image of my Son, Jesus Christ. Let's start with ask God's help in this. Lord, we delight in you, Lord. We delight in the promises of God. We delight in the way that you loved us while we were still sinners. We delight in the beauty of Jesus Christ and his patience and long-suffering. We delight to think that you'd want us, Lord, and that we could be saved, despite great is our debt and our sin before you. Think of how Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, and yet you had mercy on them, and their names are written on the gates of heaven, the gates of pearl that lead into the heavenly Jerusalem. So, Lord, having confidence that you have had mercy on many in the past who have sinned, and you will keep all your promises, we do delight, Lord, to seek you and endeavor to be your building, to tell the greatest story of Jesus Christ, redemption through him, redemption through his blood, and how we can have life, a new life, by the grace of God. Please help us today as we meditate on this, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to encourage us today to to think about our role in building this building that Tom's been talking about. And that's our role. In Romans, and so I want to just briefly encourage us, this is the Great Commission. You know, go into all the world, making disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we have some verse cards. You pass them out. This is something, these same verses, you know, Rex Trogdon passed down a little card here. It's probably 10 or 15 years ago. And to me, that was new at the time. The Romans wrote. I never heard of it before. Maybe we can share some with the children downstairs after the meeting and kind of encourage them. I was hoping that maybe some of the less mature could hear it. But this is a good encouragement for us, too, to be doing scripture memory. In a sense, we might say that we're hunters. We're hunting for souls. Go into all the world. Make disciples. Would a hunter go out? Suppose you're going out in days of yore and you've got to get some game for supper. You wouldn't go out with without any arrows. A hunter wouldn't go out with a gun with no bullets in it, right? The Word of God is our weapon, right? How did the Lord Jesus wrestle against Satan in the garden when he was tempted? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So let's, just as a brief framework, I want to consider the Romans road, starting in Romans chapter 3. Let's start with verse 19. Let's think about, I just want to give some sense that we should be prepared to witness to people. The first part of being prepared is certainly to be in relationship with God ourselves. To have, to know the story, to know the story. We should practice, be very clear in ourselves, what is the gospel? What message are we bringing? And while there's a lot of time to build the building, we need to start with the foundation. And that is the gospel message. No other foundation can anyone lay but Jesus Christ. So we want to start there with that foundation in Jesus Christ. And I just encourage that each one of us should be prepared to share the gospel at any time, in any place. It says be ready in season and out of season. And it's what surprised me and is when the opportunities come, and I'm not always ready for it. I wasn't expecting it. You know, it's sometimes, you know, I'm trying to work up my nerve to talk to my boss or something like that. I can prepare it. I can think about how shall I say this? How shall I work it in? You know, but there are other times there's these unusual moments where God, you're just with someone on a bus or at lunchtime, and they bring up the death of a loved one. Well, that's a great way to introduce the gospel, isn't it, when they talk about death. So I want to briefly consider what is the gospel, what is of salvation, the good news of the kingdom, and how we might want to, just the basics of the gospel. It's very clear in our mind. Romans 3:19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Now Paul is, in writing to the Romans, does a great job as a prosecuting attorney. Basically, he's saying here that the whole world is guilty. The whole world is guilty. So one of the first things that we want to impress upon people is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. We'll get to that. Before people are saved, they need to know there's something to be saved from. There's something to be saved from. We should live with eternity in mind. So Paul here, he says, we know that whatever the law says, this is a reference to the Old Testament. The term law is used to refer to sometimes the Ten Commandments, often the books of Moses, and sometimes the whole Old Testament is encompassed in that term, the law. So we need to be familiar with the law. We need to be familiar enough to share with people what God's law says so they know that they've broken the law. There's just reading the Ten Commandments. We should all know the Ten Commandments. I was surprised not so many years back when someone asked, well, what's the Ten Commandments? And I said, I couldn't only name a few of them off the top of my head, you know. But we should know those. You know, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's broken. And, you know, Jesus taught that had in our hearts, if we look on a woman to lust after her, we've broken that law. You know, pornography, it's immoralities all through society. So, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You ever told a lie about somebody? You ever stolen anything? Cheated on your income taxes? Not paid, you know, there's this sales and use tax, right? We're supposed to report on our to the state of Connecticut. If we bought something out of state, maybe on Amazon, maybe Amazon's collecting it now, but a lot of internet things you buy on the internet, if you don't, they don't collect the sales tax. But on a Connecticut state form, you're supposed to fill that in and then pay the tax when you file your state income taxes. There's a lot of people who don't do that. We should at least come up with an estimate. A lot of times of what we paid. But we want people to know that they've all broken God's law. So whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped. Nobody can boast that they're righteous before God. Nobody. So that's, and all the world may become guilty before God. So one of the steps in evangelism is to let people know, inform them, that they've broken God's laws. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I have never, I've never had anybody argue with me yet that they've sinned. I've said, I know, so that's a good place to start. A lot of people, you ask people, what basis do you think you should get into heaven? What basis do you think you'll get into heaven? So many people think, well, I'm basically a good person. I've gotten that answer many times. That is not the right answer. None of us is good enough to enter God's presence. We don't have the righteousness of Christ. We've all sinned, so we and fall short of the glory of God. So Romans 3:23 is a great verse to memorize. Now, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God. I love that phrase. The righteousness of God. So here's a righteousness that doesn't come by our actions. Here's a righteousness that God is assigns. Now, we should live righteously. Okay? Our actions do have some connection with our faith, right? Faith without works is dead. And we, it's by our works, you know, people should see an example of who Christ is. But the point is, we've all broken God's law. We're all guilty. And so we're going to have to find our righteousness someplace else. Suppose Mrs. Surplus's husband was a firefighter. Is that right? Suppose, for example, someone's a firefighter and they saved two people. Let's say more, seven. They saved seven people the course of their career. They went to the burning building seven times and pulled out of people that would have died otherwise, right? And then twice, they went into a bar, got drunk, had a fight, and killed somebody. Well, they saved seven, they killed two. We're not going to get our righteousness that way. I'm stopped for speeding, and the judge says, well, I should have let you off. And I said, well, I've driven the speed limit more times than I've speeded. That doesn't work, okay? Righteous, we've all broken God's law. We're all guilty. Being good is only what we should be doing all the time, you know, obeying God's law. So the fact that we've broken it all doesn't—it's not a matter of I've done more good than I've done more bad. We should be, God's law is righteous all the time. But no one has ever disagreed with me that they're a sinner. So that's usually an easier point to make. We want to point people towards Jesus Christ. That's the crux of the matter. I'm struggling with something at work right now. I'm sure some of you are aware of it. They have a diversity day at work. And two of the people on the diversity group, which is about 15 people, are Muslims. And they proposed having an imam come in from the Greater Hartford Islamic Association. The idea is he's going to give a little presentation. He's not really, I don't think he's going to teach too much about the doctrines of Islam, but convince people that Muslims are okay people. You know, and most of them, I'm friends with, you know, one Muslim guy at work. I'm friends with him. He's a nice guy. But the truth is that there's a lot of things in the Quran that are very violent, that teach violence. Fight with those who believe not in Allah. Make no friend with a Christian or a Jew. So people, they don't know that. In writing to them, I have to keep in mind, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's God's love. You know, it's very easy for me to get arrogant and say, you people have no idea what Islam teaches. They've been given some things written by pro-Islamic things that kind of avoid all the problematic verses in the Quran that teach fighting is good for you. It says that in the Quran. And the Hadith is some oral writing given, not oral writing. All Muslims except the Quran, and nearly all Muslims except the Hadith. The Hadith are collections of oral things written down by people, you know, who heard Muhammad say them. There are different collections of Hadith. Some are considered authoritative by almost all Muslims. And so one of these collections has a saying in it, the last day will not come until the rocks and trees cry out, there's a Jew hiding behind me, come and kill him. So these people in the Diversity Council, they have no idea, I'm sure, about these other things. And probably the Muslims in the Diversity Council, they probably haven't become familiar with them either. I asked my Muslim friend about some of these, who's on the Diversity Council. We, by God's grace, got so kind to me. We were able to have a cordial, I mean, it was a little tense, but he's a decent guy in a lot of ways. And I pray for Nick, that he would know the Lord. He had to admit he really didn't have an answer for these things, but he was sure that his clergy would. He felt sure. But so in replying, I have on my heart to write a letter. This time I'm going to have to appeal, I think, to perhaps the commissioner or something, because everybody short of that has said, no, we're going ahead with this. But in that, I want to make sure that I do it with the spirit of Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Will I show them, will we show unbelievers the same compassion that God showed us, in sending his son to die for us? Are we willing to die to ourselves and the things that so that, and even maybe risk our life perhaps, so that others may learn of God's love? I once heard a Muslim say, an ex-Muslim, I'm pretty sure he was from Pakistan, Christian, he said, unless you're willing to die, to risk your life, you're not going to reach a Muslim. That was interesting. Now, he had risked his life, so he could say it with a lot more authority. So in relating to people, there may be a lot of things that we have to go beyond our comfort level, risk ourselves perhaps, and certainly maybe risk how people react to us. You know, some people, a lot of reasons we don't witness sometimes is because I'm afraid I'm going to get some negative feedback. You know, people are going to, you know, treat me in a unkind way. We have, that's what they did to the Lord Jesus, isn't it? But that didn't stop him from witnessing. That's what they did to Paul, right? Paul said he was beaten, what, 5 times? With 40 lashes minus one, shipwrecked twice, in the deep for a day. He was stoned. It didn't stop him. His love was so great for these people. He had the love of Christ. The love of Christ. God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So when we witness to people, we need to let them know that we love them. We can't do it out of pride. We do need to be bold. But we have to do it in humility and be willing to endure some persecution for the sake of the name. What is the Bible? What did Jesus say? Leap for joy when they persecute you for my name, for great is your reward in heaven. We need to keep our mind on the hope of God, the promises of God. We don't want to be put off by the fear of man. What can man do to me, right? Do not fear those who can kill the body and do no more. but rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We want to bring people to Christ. We don't want to get overly caught up in theological arguments. And this is what I often do. I try to argue people into the kingdom. But we need to present Jesus Christ so they hear the gospel. They know there is a Savior. We need to think about verses or thoughts. Often it's better to put things in your own words, but often it's better to quote Scripture because they know it's from the Bible. And you have to kind of judge between what's right for the moment. And Jesus is the answer. He's our Lord. We don't want people to come to be, in a sense, focusing on us. We want to make sure that whatever we do, we bring people to Jesus Christ. You know, it's great if people want to ask us questions, or we can spend time discipling them. That we should yes, but whatever we do, we want to make sure that they get the idea that Jesus is the one. And finally, in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. People need to make a decision. We need to let them know that they need to make a decision. It's not enough to hear about Jesus, believe that he rose from the dead. They need to decide to make him Lord of their life. And it's on the basis of a personal relationship with God that they are accepted in his presence. It's not about knowing things. The demons know who Jesus was. Remember, they bowed down. We know who you are, the Holy One of God. But that's not enough. They need to have a relationship with God. So just a little encouragement that we want to have a clear picture of what we want to say to people about the Lord Jesus, about their predicament. They've sinned. They've broken God's laws, and we should try some verses that do have to do with the commandments of God. But God, so we're all guilty, that God has a remedy for our sin. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's by faith. It's not by works. And there is a hell. Jesus spoken often of it. It's good to memorize some verses about that. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So just a little encouragement that we should be memorizing his word. These are the bullets in our gun, if you will. It's the word of God that changes people. And we are his messengers. You're commissioned. You're commissioned to share the word of God. Be thinking about that. Encourage. Praying about it during the week. That you prepare your heart to share the gospel with someone, and that the Lord would bring someone across your path to share the gospel with, whoever it is. Someone walking by on the sidewalk of your house, or the mailman, or whoever knows, a relative, who knows. And that you be prepared, because we have an idea what it is we want to say about God, perhaps from the Romans Road. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, God, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have paid the price of our sin. Thank you, Lord, you've entrusted us with truth, with the message of your Son, and given us this great privilege of building the building that is the body of Christ. God, help our hands. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for the work. And please give us your Spirit, Lord, that a testimony of Christ might be accomplished through us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.